This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the county result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, are you in? Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get reward points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You're listening to the Scarf Bergara Wall, part of the TalkSport Fan Network. Charity partners with Mentel. For county fans, by county fans.
So I'm with Dan now in the taxi on the way to the ground. Me and Dan got in from the USA at, 8:30 this morning?
Yeah,
after like 21, 22 hours of travelling, three flights, so we are absolutely knackered, but excited.
Very much so, promotion day, innit?
Excited and tired. We'll keep on checking in, and hopefully this will make for a good Courtyard Club call. Speak soon.
So we're in a very busy courtyard today, like really, really busy, more busy and loud than usual. We're going to do some score predictions from everybody that we've got here. I'm not going to name everybody, we'll go around the room, or around the group, whatever. Chloe, what do you reckon?
I think 3-1 to County.
3-1, strong. Jimmy?
Saying 3-1 with a Wootton hat-trick.
A Wootton hat-trick? Have you seen, is he starting, by the way? Yeah, all right, that's a good start then, isn't it? Dan?
I'm going for 3-0, Barry to get the last goal, and Hinchliffe to keep a clean sheet.
Nice. Dan Johnson?
Morecambe at the start, and 3-0.
3-0. Look, they're very confident. Toby?
I'm going to go 4-1, County.
4-1? Any advances on 4-1? Harley?
3-0, I think Barry's going to get the last one, and honestly, Olafa get two.
Right, I'm going to go 2-1, narrow win, because we always say this pre-match, dead big scores, and they always surprise us. And they're going to be seething from 3 points deducted, aren't they? So we'll see what happens, and we'll check in later.
Hello, and welcome to the newly promoted Stockport County Fans Podcast. This is the Courtyard Club Call. This is episode 33, should I say. Morecambe at home yesterday, which confirmed the promotion to League One. We are now just 3 points away from the being champions. We will go through deep dive into the Morecambe game. Unfortunately, I had to watch it from a tablet, but I have two very well-informed people alongside me to give me their inside the ground view. I have Dan and Jimmy, as always. How are we doing, lads? Good evening.
Evening.
Good evening, Waggy. Good evening, Dan.
How are we? Are we all sober? Are we all okay?
Well, I'm still working at it.
Yeah, I had a stag do to go to in Manchester after the game. So
right.
Yeah, that was a bit of a pain, but good fun.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So yeah, so played Morecambe at home. We only needed a point to get promotion officially. We won 2-0. We'll go through the usual stuff. We'll go through the lineup, formation, how the first half panned out, how the second half panned out, man of the match, ref watch, and if there's anything else that we need to discuss at the end. So going off FOTMOB, as ever with our encyclopedia, we start with Ben Hinchliffe in goal, Eric Bristow?
You're showing your age there, mate.
I certainly am, aren't I? I certainly am. Apologies. I was drunk last night and I'm still trying to sober up. So there's a few mistakes in me. At least I didn't call him Dixon like I did on the podcast. Anyway. So we have Bristow, Pye, Horsfall, Noyle at the back. Then we played midfield three of Sars, Campton, Bailey. Madden behind a front two of Wotton and Olafi. What did we think of the lineup? Did we get 11 out of 11 on FanHub? Any surprises from your side of things?
I think the big surprise is he's gone back to a back four for me. He dropped Burn, who'd been playing a back three with Burn, and he's gone back into a back four. That was the big surprise. Getting 11 out of 11 is just no help nowadays with Chaloner. He's swapping and changing it. I think, obviously, Bailey coming in was the sort of the shock in the midfield lot, but yeah, the change from a three to a four at the back.
Yeah, I think the surprise for me was playing the three strikers again. So I mean, we've done this quite a few times this season. Obviously, with Stretton out for the whole season and Barry coming back from his injury, I thought he might have left one of them on the bench just to give us a little bit extra in the second half and maybe rest them as well for the Notts County game. So I was expecting an extra midfielder in there, maybe Powell, maybe bring Hippolyte in, I don't know. But yeah, that was my biggest surprise.
Well, yeah, I mean, we did have Richards and Barry on the bench, didn't we, which I'd sort of say that they were pretty much strikers. So as you say, we did have the backup there. I got 10 out of 11. I got Burn. I had Burn in instead of, I think I had Olafi on the bench as well. And do we think, did that definitely the way that we sort of, it looks from the stream, that's the way we set up with the back four, three in front of them, and then Madden playing just behind the two strikers.
Camps was definitely sort of doing the quarterback sitting.
Yeah, I think it almost looked like a diamond, didn't it?
Yeah, with everybody playing in front of Camps, I would say actually it was more 2-3 that way, because you had basically Pye and Horsfall where you just did two central defenders. Your fullbacks are actually pushed up as wing backs, and they were more in line with Camps, and then you had players in front of them going forward. So at times, and a lot of the time, because we dominate possession, it just was Horsfall and Pye at the back, and Camps would just make that little triangle for a quick pass and to move the ball.
Yes, spot on. And Pye and Horsfall made a lot of forward runs, I thought, as well, probably more than I've seen them do. Both of them were striding forward with that ball, and to really good effect as well. And I thought Horsfall had his best game for us. He was absolutely brilliant. Even if you forget the goal that he scored, he was unbelievable yesterday.
Yeah. So obviously the first half, I mean, I'll just go through quickly some stats. Possession-wise, 66% for us, 34% for them. XG was 0.74. We had five shots, two shots on target, two goals. And then we had a total of 281 passes, of which 248 were accurate passes compared to their 144 passes, which only 99, which is 69%, was accurate. So the first half, I think we were quite dominant. How did you see it, Jimmy?
Yeah, I mean, they had no shots in the first half, and we pressed very well. I thought the front sort of three did really, really well to sort of limit them from getting any decent possession and getting the ball forward, to be fair. I was concerned with a couple of injuries that we sort of picked up relatively early on, but we can get onto that. But overall, it was a super, super dominant performance. And they, let's face it, they looked like they were on the beach, didn't they? They did not press us at all. And when they did, it might have been one player. And he would then sort of look around at his teammates thinking, guys, where are you? What? Why am I pressing on my own? So I don't know what you thought about it, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was probably one of the most dominant first half you'll actually see without actually us getting out of second gear. All the sort of like metrics we've beaten, you know, Morecambe hands down on, you know, twice as many passes. It would have been nice to actually see some sort of stats on them actually what position of the pitch we actually had the possession on, because I don't even think they got into our final third in that first half. Obviously, they didn't have a shot at target, didn't have any corners. Or they had one corner, sorry, in the first half. But it was just absolute dominance. That makes it difficult at times, because we've seen it before where they park the bus or sit in deep and we have to then sort of like move the ball about from left to right to try and create that space. And we're looking for them to rather press or on us and create a gap or make a mistake that creates a gap for us. And we just have to be patient with it. At no point, though, did I feel that we're going to lose the game. I just felt we were always going to win this game after sort of the first 10 minutes. And it didn't disappoint.
Yeah, I think we were totally, as you said, we're totally dominant. I think obviously we spoke with the Morecambe guy on Wednesday's show, and they had a slim chance going into that game up until, I think it was the day after, on the Thursday, wasn't it, after the podcast, and they got 3 points taken off them. So I think you could see, and I listened to the pre-match interview and the post-match interview with their manager, and he's banging his head against the wall. I know he said in his pre-match warm-up, he said that it was the first, he spoke to the chairman in the week, and that was the first time he spoke to him since he took over the club. He's been at the club for something like 4 or 5 months. So that's a worrying. That's a very, very worrying sign for me. But yeah, I think they looked, not necessarily disheartened, but as you say, they'd had nothing to play for. They couldn't G themselves up. They knew it was a party atmosphere. I thought, you know, we were dominant. We were always going to win that. And I mean, the first goal, a brilliant goal, as all three attackers involved. Good play, Alafi out to Madden. Madden puts it across, and Wotton with a great header to go over the defender and the keeper, and Alafi with a sweet finish, and he's, you know, nice turn and finish. So yeah, absolutely superb goal. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I mean, the Tanto volley, it looks easy when you see it on the highlights, but I've seen people, like strikers, smack them wide. So yeah, he did really well to finish that. And if you look at the highlights just after he scored, he was well chuffed with himself, because I think that was goal number 20 for the season. I don't know whether we'd given him some sort of bonus to hit 20 goals, but he was proper happy, thinking, yeah, that's my new motor. I don't know.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah.
But it was an instinctive goal, wasn't it? Like we've said it before, when he gets them opportunities where he doesn't have to think about it, he hasn't got time to think, and it's just pure instinct. You know, most of the time he will put it in the back of the net. And I'd say, I thought Alafi, once he got that goal, I actually thought he'd come alive. I thought he was absolutely on fire on there, and he looked like he was buzzing until, obviously, he gets put through again by a wonderful ball by Hinchliffe.
It was a superb ball, wasn't it?
It was, for me, that reminded me of the ball he put in through for Collar for the goal against Wrexham. That goal and down that sort of similar side. And, you know, unfortunately, he's obviously picked up an injury when he's gone through on goal. I don't know if it was the defender or the goalkeeper he clattered into, but he's obviously picked up an injury. But I just felt we didn't seem as dominant after that once Tanto went off.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting because, I mean, I thought Conor Lemon-Hay-Evans had a great game, actually. And I think he probably won the ball the highest up the pitch out of all the players that we had on. He's so good at that press and getting that foot in and getting that tackle in. But you're right. As soon as Tanto went off, they sort of could breathe. And we say this every week, actually. Tanto gives us that pace that nobody else gives us in the team. So when he goes off, when he's not playing, it's a completely different team.
Yeah, and I think because of that, I think we did shuffle around a bit, didn't we, bringing the Lemon-Hay-Evans on. I think he came across the right, didn't he? Bailey went more to the left, and then obviously Sars through the middle, and then Paddy moved up top. So it sort of changed everybody's role, which I don't think we were sort of expecting after 20 minutes. But we were still all over them, weren't we? We were still pushing and forcing chances and stuff. And then just before half time, finally, Fraser Horsfall gets his goal, and the people that have got him as an anytime goal scorer finally get the money back for the season.
Well, they don't, because like the guy that I sit in front of, my season ticket, I heard him saying to his mate, he said, I put 10 quid on Fraser scoring every single game, okay? And he's finally scored. And his mate said, what odds is it? And he said, 10 to 1. And I was like, oh, man, you got to like... Yeah, so you basically need him to score 4 times a season at 10 to 1. So he's still well down, isn't he? But bless him. But at least he's got something back.
But you don't see it like that, do you? You see you've got 100 quid in your pocket.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You forget the other tenors that you've lost throughout the season, definitely.
Perfect. Yeah, I'm glad that he finally got the goal. And I think that, with it again being right on half time, it changes the game. I know it makes it 2-0 rather than 1-0. It again knocks a bit of wind out of their sails, doesn't it? And we go in, and it changes the half-time team talk, really, doesn't it? For both sets of managers.
Yeah, it does. But I think, like I say, County are very, very good at the moment of starting each half on fire and very, very positive and looking to go for goals. I was personally... I just wanted a clean sheet at that point. I want, like I say, Ben to get that Golden Glove award, to, as well as obviously we wanted to go up as champions. But, you know, I think, you know, personal acclaims and for Ben to get that Golden Glove would be fantastic. Fraser's just obviously this evening been named in the League Two Team of the Year. And he's the only Stockport player to be named in that team. Unfortunately, so you know, it's you know, the team's done well, we've got promoted, we will go up as champions, and it'd just be nice for, like, say, some personal recognition. And like, say, Ben getting that clean sheet now puts him ahead on that. So hopefully, we can get him another clean sheet and he wins that award,
yeah. And just touching on that, I think it's going to be very difficult to keep a clean sheet on Tuesday night. I think we will beat Notts. I think it'll be a high scoring game, but I just can't see him keeping a clean sheet. Just while we were talking about Ben at that time, but yeah, it's definitely good to see. Good for him to get that clean sheet, wanting to get the Golden Glove. And yeah, anything else from the first half? Anything else that you wanted to bring up? Anything else you thought about when you was sat watching it?
No, there were certain points you could. It felt like a training game, a training match. There was one bit down on the left hand side, is obviously going towards the railway end, where there was about 3 or 4 players that were just flicking it and knocking it on and doing stuff that you would only expect them to actually do in a training match, and just playing around Morecambe, and it just looked like a training match at that. You know, for most of the game, in all fairness, because like you said, Morecambe just, like you say, just didn't seem that they wanted to be there as such.
I think Morecambe got caught because you either press as a team or you don't. So like some of the teams that we've come across this season towards the bottom of the table at Edgeley Park, they just sit back, they park the bus and they sort of say, right, play through us and we'll put a low block in. What we found with Morecambe was that they were all over the place. Like they're number 9 was pressing as much as he possibly could, but that then meant that we had space to like pass the Camps or something, and then Fraser sort of strode forward, or Pye strode forward. So they were probably one of the weakest teams that I've seen from a tactical point of view, and if we'd had to have scored more goals, I think we could have gone up a couple of gears.
But yeah,
nice and simple. And I actually wonder whether the players are also thinking what you're thinking, Dan, and sort of thinking, you know, okay, well, we can score like 3, 4, 5 goals, but let's get Ben his clean sheet, because there's no point us getting 3, 4, 5 goals. It's absolutely irrelevant. But for Ben, the legend that he is, to get that extra clean sheet and hopefully win the Golden Glove, that's more important, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's all about goal difference, but we have got the best goal difference in all of the EFL at present.
Wow,
we're on 44. I did see it on Twitter. We're on plus 44. I think Leeds are on plus 42, and I think Ipswich are up there as well. But yeah, we're the best in the league, or in the EFL, should I say? So, moving on to the second half, a bit of a procession, I suppose. We had 56% possession, 44% to them. XG was 0.33 and 0.03 for them. They only had one shot on target, which I think was a long-range effort, which was off target as well, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. We've had five total shots with two shots on target. We've had 232 passes, 182 accurate passes, which is 78%. And they've had a lot more in the second half. They've had 176 passes, but 135 accurate passes. It was just a procession, really, wasn't it, for the second half? I don't think, as I said, I was half cut by half-time watching it in a pub. So the second half just sort of went by because I was also watching the Grand National. So that took me eye off it because everybody was in the pub. Everyone was cheering. I'm trying to concentrate on my iPad watching the match. I think it was just a procession, wasn't it? There was nothing. We didn't get out of second gear. We didn't need to get out of second gear. They didn't really offer us anything different because they made a couple of substitutions at half time. And I don't know if they actually changed the shape with them. But they didn't really, I didn't see any changes. We just strolled to the full time whistle.
For me, the second half, being in Edgeley Park, it was just about substitutes. We all wanted to see certain players come on, obviously Louis Barry, but it was all about substitutes, really. And it was sort of building up to that. Same again, a different one. Didn't even look at my phone at other scores during the game, weren't worried about what other teams are doing or anything like that. Obviously, Carno, I don't know what, he seemed to get a knock. I didn't really clearly see what he had, if he got a knock or a bleed or something like that. He went off to get some sort of treatment, then sort of came back on, and then he got substituted again for Burn, and then we obviously changed our shape a little bit with Burn coming on. But yeah, I think second half, like you say, we were just going through the motions, really. And same again, it was just nice to sort of see Barry come on. For me, I would have liked to see Barry play with Madden, because I think Madden sort of feeds him, you know, quite well and links up the play quite well. When Barry came on and Rico, they just seem to be a little bit isolated and not get involved as much as you'd want them to. But it's all minutes under the belt for Barry, I suppose.
Yeah, I think Barry came on, well, definitely on the left-hand side, didn't he? So we kept Wootton as the point striker, sort of Rico on the other side, on the right. And then Barry on the left. And I think that we saw the best of him as a centre-forward, didn't we, playing alongside Tanto, actually. Yeah. But yeah, he is well short of match fitness. And you can see he's just trying a bit too hard, which is natural for a young lad who's just been out for like 4 or 5 months, whatever it is. But the crowd, absolutely. I mean, he got the biggest cheer, didn't he? And then Rico came on afterwards and the crowd were like, oh, we better give him a big cheer as well. So he got a big cheer as well. But he was the main event on the second half and the game was won. And as you say, it was a procession in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely wanted to. What was the atmosphere like then? Certainly like in that second half, was there a real feeling of a party atmosphere?
Pre-season friendly. It felt pre-season friendly. Yeah, because there's no jeopardy as such. You know, there was no anxiousness. It was, you know, like you say, party mood. But everyone was chilled. In the Cheadle end, I think the most angst that fans got was probably trying to find their seat and then finding somebody else was sat in it, which is the normal story for the Cheadle end when it's busy. That was probably about as much stress that some people probably got on the day, finding their seats. You know, the courtyard was absolutely probably the busiest I've ever seen it. you know, under the Cheadle end was absolutely, you know, heaving. But same again, great atmosphere. You know, it took you 10 minutes just to walk through the concourse at the Cheadle end with, because it was just that busy with people singing and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just a nice, relaxed atmosphere. And like you say, we've got it out of the way. And it sort of builds it up now. We know what we need to do. We need to get 3 points from 3 games. And, you know, it's all in our hand.
Yeah, absolutely. So did you go on the pitch at the end of the game? I've seen some half-hearted attempts by the stewards to try and stop some parts of the Cheadle end from going on in a couple of videos and stuff, but I think the majority of it was there for show, wasn't it? Everybody was going on the pitch anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I even saw a steward help pick a kid.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Away days with County are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at Edgeley Park. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Up and pull him over the barrier. So, do you know what I mean? All these stewards come out and they must have found, like, you know, it must have been right. All the nightclub bouncers, the biggest ones they could find. Right, come on, you can do a bit of overtime. They got them all lined up, looking all menacing in front of the Cheadle end. And then the final whistle goes and they just go, well, go on then. Go on. Go on, have a run. You know,
I thought it was quite. Yeah, I thought it was quite funny how on like 93 minutes, the referee had a quiet word with the goalkeeper just before he took a free kick, I think it was. And then it was obvious that he was saying, right, when you take this kick, I'm going to blow my whistle. And then I think the captain of Morecambe sort of called to his players, right, the final whistle is going to go, guys, so head for the chancel room. It's like they knew there was going to be a pitch invasion because all the kids had come down to the front of the Cheadle end. So keeper takes the kick, whistle goes, the Morecambe players run as fast as they possibly can. Yeah.
If you watch that, the highlights, though, you'll see the referee. I'm sure the referee is running towards the tunnel.
As he's blowing his whistle. Yeah, he is. Yeah.
While he's blowing his whistle. Even in fairness, the ref, off that pitch.
I mean, the ref wasn't very good, was he? He was really pernickety, I thought. He booked Camps for time wasting around a throw. I think it was their throw, and he sort of kicked, like, knocked the ball away or something. And they were pretty dirty. I mean, they put a few strong tackles in the first sort of 10, 15 minutes. And he didn't book any of their players in that period. I think all their bookings came maybe second half. I can't remember. But
there was two in the first half. Gwan, okay. Edwards and 31 minutes. Jacob Beddo on 45 plus six. And then they had... And every time he was mentioned on the stream, it made me laugh. Charlie Brown, he got booked on 69 minutes. Just made me chuckle because I just kept thinking Snoopy. I'm sorry, I know I'm immature, but
to be honest, that did get a chuckle when he came off as a sub as well. So when they announced Charlie Brown's coming off, that did sort of get a chuckle, I think, around the seats where I was sat. But yeah, like you say, I think they tried because they weren't going to get us technically get anywhere near us. So they were sort of like, right, we have to be physical as we've seen before with other teams and we'll have to try and bully our way into the game, but it just didn't work. And I think, like you say, the second half was just an absolutely non-event. We could have, you know, if, like you say, if there was an agreement where you go second half, should we just call it a day and just all go down the pub? I think, you know, 3 minutes in, we would have called it a day and had a 2-0 and not play the second half and just have a party. But yeah, I mean, the worrying bits, obviously, you know, obviously the injuries, Alafi, you know, like you say, you've seen with a boot and crutches after the game, which is sort of standard for County, that if there's an injury, they usually put him in a boot and wrap him up a little bit. The Niall one, hopefully he's not out for the rest of the season, because be honest now, if you got an injury, you're out for the rest of the season now.
Yeah, certainly with only three games left and 2 weeks left, isn't there? So
yeah,
any sort of knock you wouldn't expect them to be playing. Man of the match on FOTMOB, Horsefall got it with an 8.5. Who got it from the match sponsors in the ground? Was it Paddy, Horsefall as well?
Yeah, no, Paddy.
Paddy.
Paddy. Yeah.
Okay. He only got a 6.9 on FOTMOB as a rating. Did you agree, Madden? Or did you? I think you mentioned before, didn't you, Jimmy? You thought it was Horsefall. You thought it was probably the best game that he's had.
He was superb. And as I say, even without that goal, he was really good. But if Pye had scored the goal, I think he'd have been my man of the match. So they were that close in performance, if you know what I mean, that it was between one or two of them. No way was Paddy. I mean, Paddy played well, don't get me wrong, but no, he wasn't man of the match.
Right, yeah. Okay. So what did you think, Dan? You agree, Horsefall or Madden or anybody else that caught you?
No, it's... Like I say, I can understand why Madden at times, because like I say, he does influential, and he does, when he's on the ball, he is trying to dictate and do positive things. But for an all-round performance, Horsefall was, he was a rock. And he looks, he started the season, I thought, quite shaky.
Yeah.
He's twice the player that he was in the first 5 weeks of the season. He looks like a League One player at the moment in time. So,
I mean, sorry, go on, carry on, Dan.
So I'm just hoping, he just carries on, because same again, he looks an easy League One player.
Yeah, and I think he's got a really, I think him and Pye really complement each other. You know, they've got an awareness, they've got an understanding, haven't they? So one, as you mentioned, Jimmy, that, Pye or Horsefall were taking the ball forward, were running with the ball, but then they were able to sort of tuck in and cover if it broke down or anything like that. And I think that I think we look stronger with a back four, but again, it depends on who we're playing, who the opposition is. But I think they've got a really, really good relationship at the centre. And I think certainly, if we are going to improve the left back, right back area, then I think they need to be able to work with Pye and Horse. Yeah. I think they're a really, really good partnership. And you could see when Pye came back how much better we looked defensively.
Yeah, I think if he wants to go with a back three, Wright is going to sort of be the third guy there. So Horsewood in the centre with Wright on the right hand side. So I don't think it's necessarily part of the field that we need to improve the first team on, although I wouldn't be surprised if we try and get another central defender, because I'm not sure Byrne is League One quality, but that's for another pod.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then ref watch, what did we make of the referee? I think you already mentioned, Jimmy, that they're a bit a stickler for the rules and type of thing. He was...
He spent most of the game trying to stop people from pinching half a yard on throw-ins, to be honest.
Yeah.
That's what I saw.
Don't we complain about people taking too many yards on throw-ins? So
I guess. Yeah, the guy can't win, can he? He can't win. But no, he was such a stickler, right? It's there, absolutely there. You are not moving from that position. So
He's probably a better one that we've seen in recent weeks. For sure. He's not as bad as, like I say, the one at Colchester on Tuesday night I thought was awful. And same again, the Sutton one and the Wimbledon one. I thought he weren't the greatest, weren't the worst, but he was definitely a lot better than what we had previous weeks.
Yeah, excellent. And of course, how good does it feel that we are now a League One club? We will be playing League One football. And I've seen many tweets. The Scarf Begara War has tweeted this as well. This will be the 11th year in consecutive seasons, that we have finished higher than we have the previous season, improving for the last 11 years. I mean, we have had some dark days, but this is we're back, baby. Are you looking forward to League One? Is there anything that you think will be different, League One versus League Two?
Blackpool.
Blackpool. Yeah.
I hope the Patriot gods are kind to us with Blackpool.
Yeah, well, yeah.
I mean, Tuesday night in February.
Yeah, I mean, they can still get in the playoffs, Blackpool, so they're one to watch. Obviously, we've got three teams in there that we played last season, Stevenage, Leighton Orient and Northampton. They'll still be in there. A long way trip to Exeter will be there. You know, some local games, Wigan, a rivalry we can reignite with Wickham again. And teams are the same again. Charlton will be a nice trip into London again for some. Cambridge United will be a nice local game for me as such. It's when you look at that division, these, without being disrespectful to League Two, some proper institutional football teams there and clubs and some proper big stadiums as such, that will be, say, championship quality. You know, you will have some teams come out, obviously, from the championship. I think, obviously, Portsmouth and Derby are definitely out of that division. The playoffs, I think it will be the four that are in there now between Bolton, Peterborough, Barnsley and Oxford. One of them will go up. Obviously, it's only three that go up. Only the top two go up. So it's a harder division. But for me, if we're 10th next season, I'll be over the moon.
Well, that's what I was going to say. What's your aspirations for League One next year? Do you think it'll be the first year for probably for 6 years, that it'll just be a mediocre standard season, no jeopardy, win a few games, lose a few games, finish sort of mid-table? Because the three of the four teams that went up, I think they're all sort of sitting the 10th, 11th, 12th. So they're all sort of pretty comfortable mid-table. So, and I don't think that they had a lot of turnover, did with the players. I think they've still kept the core squad of what they had in League Two. So hopefully I'd be quite happy with, say, a mid-table finish next year. No jeopardy, just steady the boat, get our feet under the table. Because I think League One is
faster, it's stronger.
Yeah, it's
as well.
Faster than everything. I think, the level of football goes up. But I think you are sort of split between the top half, bottom half. Is you've got those big sort of championship-esque clubs, and then you've got a few that are, as you say, a bit not really favourable clubs and clubs that you think probably more towards a League Two end. So I think this is, and we have mentioned on the pod before, is that getting into that sort of top six, top seven, that's where the proper footballing clubs are, proper footballing teams. And that's the sort of the next level, isn't it? I think quite a decent season in League One, finish mid-table, and then we start trying to become that top seven team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, you've hit the nail on the head there. The league, it sounds like obvious, but League One is an agglomeration of Championship clubs and League Two clubs. But there is a massive difference between a Championship club and a League Two, whereas like the National League, there isn't as much of a difference, I don't think, between like the National League and League Two. So I think the thing I'm looking forward to is, as Dan said, going to some much bigger grounds. My daughter's 15, so I'll be able to take her to some grounds that I used to go to when I was watching County in the 1990s. So some big grounds, hopefully no issues with away allocations in a lot of the matches as well, which is of something that we've seen this season. It's been quite hard to get tickets at some places. So looking forward to that. And my missus has already said she'd quite like to go to Oxford and Cambridge away. So we'll see. We'll see how that goes. So yeah,
well, you've got Lincoln as well, which is the same. And if you've never been to Lincoln, I always think Lincoln's a nice away day. It's for a weekend away or something like that. So it's just back where we belong, to be honest. I mean, I know the aspirations of the club are to be a Championship club again. Personally, I always think we're a League One club. I always thought we were a League One club. Doesn't mean that I'm happy now and I want to sit here in mid-table, you know, and I don't think Mr. Stott will want to either. And I think he'll be the aspirations of the club we'll see during the summer with obviously the players that come in and out of the team. And, you know, that will set the aspirations of the club, regardless what everybody else says. If he goes and buys championship players on big wages or for fees, then, you know, you can, it's quite clear that he expects us to finish more than higher than 12th or 10th in the division. You know, if he keeps most of his same team and gives him another chance, then, you know, I don't expect us to be looking down, worrying at any point during next season.
Yeah, I think I'd like us to be signing players that we could develop to bring us to the championship, put them on a 3-4 year contract that we know, you know, they've got a bit of decent, like say League One pedigree, but you can see that they've got the you know, they can step up a level to go to the championship and then improve them over the next season, two seasons, and then get that, say, push for that final promotion.
I mean, it works in the other way as well. Obviously, being in a League One club now, we will have a lot more clubs looking closer eye at our talents, like Pye, like Alafi, and even Challoner. You know, if he sets off really, really well again, you know, by Christmas, championship clubs will be looking at Challoner's services as well. So, you know, there is, you know, the higher you go up through the tables and the divisions, then, you know, there's more to lose, but there's more to gain. And, you know, and hopefully everybody's just happy and everybody sees the project and wants to be part of it and don't get tempted away or blindsided.
And this is exactly where Mark Stott will want the club to be. He will want people looking at our players. He will want people looking at our manager, because it means that we're doing something good.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything else to add before we wrap up?
I just want to say one thing. So shout out to Russ, who's obviously not on today, but he's posted on X do you call it a tweet these days or not? Well, whatever
I
you
think
call
it's
it.
A tweet, isn't it? It's not a tweet. X, is it?
So he's posted a tweet on there. So any of our listeners, get yourself on X. And he sort of put all the seasons since 2009, all the way up to now, sort of highlighting where we've been. And he's had 638,000 views. So well done, Russ. And if you look through some of them, obviously I've not read every single one of them because I'm not that sad, believe it or not. But if you read some of them, there's like posts from Burnley, Birmingham, Sheffield Wednesday, Sheffield United, like every single team you could possibly think about wishing us luck. And it's great to have Stockport County back in where they should be. So it feels good to be amongst the proper fans again. Well, proper fans, that's not fair, but amongst the bigger clubs again.
Yeah, a lot of them are saying that they're looking forward to coming to Edgeley Park because they enjoy it as an away day and stuff like that. So, yeah, absolutely brilliant to hear. As you said, yeah, good on Russ, good on the podcast. So, basically, yeah, that's it. We are League One. We just need 3 points from 3 games away at Notts County. I'm going to Notts County. Are you going, Dan?
Yeah, I'll be there.
Jimmy, you going to be there?
I'll be there, yeah.
Excellent. So, and Russ is going to be there as well. I know that for definite. So anybody sees us, come over, say hello, have a chat. And hopefully we will be celebrating being champions at the end of it by beating Notts County. Yeah. So let's go. What a feeling. I'm going to go and get drunk again, I think. I'm probably going to be drunk until the beginning of the season, I think. We're going to enjoy this.
And you've got Hooters and Knots as well, so just around from the ground. Well, what a perfect day Tuesday's going to be.
Yeah, Hooters for the chicken wings, eh, Dan?
Yeah, honestly, that is my plan, to get up there early, to get into Hooters, getting some chicken wings. The boy's coming out of school, so we can go along as well. So Hooters will be an experience for him, for a 13-year-old boy, I'm sure. So, yeah, what else? You know, see County win a championship, Hooters, chicken wings, what else could a 13-year-old want?
Do you mean you or the 13-year-old? Right, thank you very much, guys. We will be back on Wednesday for the live show, hopefully celebrating And we do have some other sort of bonus podcasts that we are going to be working on. We're going to do an end of season review with the four of us from the podcast. Not sure if that will go out as a live show or if we'll pre-record that. And that will be, yeah, we'll do an overall league review. And then I think we're going to sort of do a bit of a deep dive and concentrate on the different months of the season of what happened with County. We have been discussing things like that. So hopefully, say, there will be bonus podcasts coming out. They will be out for the patrons first. So thank you very much, everybody that subscribed. This is going to be straight out and live free for everybody. So please get yourself listened, get yourself subscribed, and you should get some bonus podcasts in the coming months, especially when it's like in the middle of the summer when it's boring after the Euros have finished. So, hey ho. So thank you very much for listening. Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Jimmy. Take it easy, everybody. See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
So we're here after the match in the courtyard, and we've got a new addition to the courtyard, which you might have seen, the app-to-tap machine to the left of the stage as you look at it. So hopefully it's going to be a bit of a fixture for next season. And we've got the co-owner, Sean, with us. Tell us about the app-to-tap feature and what it can bring.
Yeah, so basically it's a self-service beer tap we own, and it's operated by a mobile application. So when you go and get the application, you can add your ID verification, add a bank card, or top up via Apple Pay or Google Pay, and essentially it allows you to skip the queue entirely at the regular bar, walk over, all you do is scan the QR code, pour yourself a pint, and then you can walk away and the payment happens afterwards.
Fantastic. And am I right in saying it's a Stockport-based company?
That's right, yeah.
So, and it started here in Stockport County?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So we're based in Heaton Norris, and we've been now Stockport County. We did a trial at the end of last season, went pretty well, and we officially started here about six games, home games, before the end of the season. It's gone amazingly so far.
And is it a plan to get it not just here but around other areas? What have you? Do you cover other areas as well, other sports?
Other sports, yeah. We've got rugby clubs in North Manchester, trial at Sale Sharks, Central Park Reunion. We've got a couple of music festivals over the summer, so Cheshire Music Festival. And it's rolling out quickly. There's a few rival League Two clubs, but they don't matter anymore. We're League One now.
We're League One now. So yeah, if you've not seen it before, get yourself to it. It's up to tap. It's to the left of the stage in the courtyard, and I think it's in the Together stand
together
as well.
Stand, and then hopefully a few more for next season. If it performs like it did today, they absolutely shot the numbers. So well done, County fans. Nailed it today. If that goes, carries on, hopefully you'll see us elsewhere in the stadium.
Nice one. Cheers for that, mate.
Nice one. Have a good one, boys.
So we're here post-match. Stockport County have secured promotion to League One. Dan, how do you feel?
Amazing. That was the most routine promotion I've ever seen. It was brilliant.
What, better than National League North and National League?
Well, not the best, but no, in the terms of football, where it's not like, ooh, who's going to win this, who's going to win that, but like technically, and like on the footballing tactics and all that mumbo jumbo side of it, that is one of the best promotions I think I've ever
seen. Yeah, it seemed like one of the most easiest ones, didn't it? Compared to like this, definitely National League North. Got Jimmy with us as well. Jimmy, how do you find it?
Mint, although I've said all along, I want the title. Promotion's good enough, but let's get that title. Make sure Wrexham don't have a sniff as well. So Notts County or Accrington, I don't care. Get those 3 points.
Oh, he's mentioned Wrexham. The Wrexham Claxons will be going off in North Wales. No, I'm with you though, I'm with you as well. It's a title for me. First one since 1967 in the Football League. National League North, are great, but Football League titles, in it all every day, all the way, every day of the week. So yeah, good, right, okay.
the 90th minute, all your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants. 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.